It's the light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Welcome, Talk Catholic, the website.com. Your host, Tim Kilcoyne. No agendas here, just the straight and narrow. Through Mary to Jesus, the Catholic faith proclaimed and preserved. Hope to see you here every week. Talk Catholic during Easter tide. It goes on. Please, we have to show the world that Easter is 365 for us Catholics. And I was talking with an amazing Catholic just today in an interview, a 2.5 hour interview with Nikki Kingsley, who had just been on LifeSite with John Henry Weston. And I was fascinated, and you will be too, by her mystical union with our Lord and our Lady. She just wrote a book, A Thirst for Truth, From Muhammad to Jesus. She is a convert.
From Islam.
And stay tuned for that particular interview. But what was so beautiful was that we both agreed at a certain time in the interview when we were talking about the church and her evangelization and practical methods that we can apply, etc., that we need not get down. And I know that there's a war and the world looks like it's on fire, just like in the first century Rome. Rome is burning.
Under Nero, 65 AD.
And we have to do what God calls us to do.
As the one person that we are, because one person makes a difference.
And keep that focus and not be deterred and waver from the task. And that will maintain your joy.
If we get caught up in all the institutional corruption that we hear about all too often these days, it'll have an impact on your faith. So we need to be aware and not have rose-colored glasses, that's for sure. But we need not give the devil too much. He doesn't need any more fanfare.
And I always felt that way all through the years and 35 plus years of formal ministry, that when push comes to shove and everything looks like the world's falling down around you, focus on Jesus. He is risen. Indeed. And I keep my Easter movie marathon going at this time of the year.
As a personal boost.
And I've got a few movies that I highly recommend. And they're old. Two of them are old classics. One is a relatively new one from the old days, but absolutely unchanging truth and wisdom. The Road with Richard Burton and Gene Simmons, Victor Mature. Spectacular. Spectacular. A very realistic portrayal of what would have happened in those early days of Roman occupation if one of the Roman tribunes had a profound conversion experience.
For our new resurrected Lord.
And this is centered all around the robe of Jesus.
That they cast lots for.
It's beautiful. And Gene Simmons plays just such a beautiful, ladylike, majestic queenship role, a la Our Lady, in showing what committed love is all about. It's
just magnifico.
You will not regret pulling this off the shelf if you do have it.
And it's always available, I'm sure, on the internet.
Ben-Hur is another one. This is, again, with Charlton Heston. And this is all about Judah Ben-Hur.
A Jewish aristocrat. And this is right during the time that our Lord is still on the earth in his public ministry.
In the early days, again, of Roman occupation.
In Judea.
And he's trying to stay with his people, and he gets into a skirmish with an old friend who had risen up through the ranks in the Roman army. And he ever so gradually, he was applying, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth in terms of his attitude about injustice, but ever so gradually came to know Jesus and the whole understanding of mercy and love, which doesn't wipe out the sense of justice that's needed by all Christians, for sure, but recognizing that we're ultimately dependent on his love and mercy for our life.
Eternally, for sure.
Because we're always going to fail when it comes to divine justice. And this is always the two-edged sword. in Christianity, and it came to light in my interview with Nikki today, because she had been a Sunni Muslim that put a heavy emphasis on doing the legalistic things, making sure you...
All religious boxes were checked on a daily regimen.
For God, and there wasn't much about love, and that was what was missing, and that was the impetus for her pondering and ultimately converting. So love is the answer, as the song says. And it's also the title of a book by an old friend of mine, Monsignor Bob Gust. Love is the answer, I heard, is the title, actually. And we have to learn that sometimes the hard way. And finally, the third movie that I just finished is on Mary of Nazareth.
That is the title. In the great movie Jesus of Nazareth by Zeffirelli, needless to say, our Lord himself is the primary focus.
This really goes through Marian theology. You know, what was her co-redemptrix role? It shows that relationship with our Lord all through the movie, from cradle to grave and beyond. And it's magnificent. This is a recent one, 2013, and
put out by Epic Films.
Alyssa Young is the primary actress portraying Our Lady. Get it. This is one of the best. I would rank this second to Jesus of Nazareth myself. And believe me, I have most of the movies. Keep learning. And after, these are the initial movies that I watch right around the time of our Lord's death and resurrection. And then I go to some of the movies just after that.
Peter and Paul with Anthony Hopkins, Paul the Apostle, Risen, The Final Inquiry, Mary Magdala, St. Barbara. That's a real beautiful one. Barabbas.
And I highly recommend that as a regimen for all of you. Get good Christian movies that parallel to the time era and the feast day, for instance, you know, some of the saints' feast days that were martyrs in the first, second, and third centuries. We have lots of these new films out there. Ignatius Press is doing a marvelous job as an alternative film industry. And some of you don't like reading the big, long books, and I include myself amongst them. And sometimes you can learn your whole faith through these movies, the ones that are Catholic by direction and production and authorship. Make sure it does have a Catholic understanding of what took place. And you will learn your faith ever so well. And for those that are more video-oriented in terms of your learning mode, this might be just the ticket. So,
He is risen. And let somebody know it.
We'll continue on with our book review in the second half, The Young Men We Need with Brant Hansen, great Christian brother that says some wonderful words about how to be a man, tapping into our general theme, reclaiming Catholic masculinity. But I'd like to continue on relative to our little session on morality and media. And I mentioned that, you know, the church has spoken to this issue of the arts and motion pictures and radio and television, but you never know it. Don't hear too much about it. What are the church's directives relative to these not new technologies anymore? And when they first came on the horizon, the church had to speak. And so she did. Pope Pius XII, to be specific, an encyclical letter on motion pictures, radio, and television. And I'd like to just continue to read a few paragraphs because it's, I think it highlights the times that we're in where the church's voice is just not there. And that's both by the part of the church's hierarchy deliberately, but also a culture that is so hostile that, you know, they don't want to hear it. So let's hear from Holy Mother Church, on the true freedom of communication. Since the Church is the teacher of doctrine which leads to salvation and has all that is necessary for the attainment of holiness, she exercises an inviolable right when she teaches what has been committed to her by divine command. It ought to be the duty of all public officials to recognize this sacred right, with the result that she should be given ready access to those arts by which she may spread truth and virtue. Indeed, all true and active sons of the Church, since they recognize the priceless gift of redemption, are bidden to ensure to the extent of their power that the church may use these technological discoveries insofar as they may assist the sanctification of souls. So what are we saying right there? Is this from another planet? No, it's from planet Earth and Holy Mother Church. But basically, the church is saying we as Catholics have a right to partake in the motion picture industry. And, you know, years ago in the 1960s, there was a Catholic monitoring board of motion pictures. It was called the National Legion of Decency. And it would very specifically call out movies for smut. And the Hollywood people didn't like it. And ever so gradually, it kind of prompted some of them to make worse movies, you know, kind of in your face to Holy Mother Church. And they had impact. And the League of Decency pretty much died out, I think, in 1980. Well, we need to bring it back. You know, nobody has to be forced as to what kind of movie to create. But everybody should know that whatever you create, it's going to get an evaluation. And who better to do it than the magisterium of the Catholic Church? I hope it is within her jurisdiction. But these opening paragraphs on the true freedom of communication are making it very clear that the church comes first, and those outside the church, Hollywood or the state, must defer. Pope Pius XII goes on, indeed, there should be the first aim of the arts of the motion pictures, radio, television, and we can add now internet, to serve truth and virtue. Let them be at the service of truth in such a way that the bonds between peoples may become yet closer, that they may have a more respectful understanding of each other, and that they may assist each other in any crisis, that finally there may be real cooperative effort between state officials and individual citizens. To be at the service of the truth demands not only that all refrain from error, from lies, from deceit of all kinds, but also that they shun everything that can encourage a manner of living and acting which is false, imperfect, or harmful to another party. But above all, let the truths handed down by God's revelation be held
sacred and
inviolable. Rather, why should not these noble arts strive particularly to this end, that they spread the teaching of God and His Son Jesus Christ, and instill into the minds that Christian truth which alone can provide the strength from above to the mass of men, aided by which they may be able to, with calmness and courage, to overcome the crises and endure the severe trials of the age in which we now live. Moreover, these new arts should not only serve the truth, but also the perfecting of human life and morals.
In other words, the church is expecting that producers, writers, the artists, you know, everyone that goes into the writing and creating of the movie or the show, whatever it is,
the overall artistic expression,
whether it be music or art itself, there's an expectation of the natural law known by all men and women in their heart, if they're honest with themselves, of that which is good and true. And they have an obligation to put that forth in their artistic expression.
Regarding the news, as we might call it today, the fake news, news of any event, even if nothing but the bare fact that is related, has an aspect of its own which concerns morality in some way. This aspect affecting human morals must never be neglected, for news of any kind provokes a mental judgment and influences the will. The newsreader who worthily fulfills his task should crush no one by his words, but try rather to understand and explain as best he can the disasters reported and the crimes committed. To explain is not necessarily to excuse, but it is to suggest the beginning of a remedy, and consequently to perform a task at once positive and constructive.
So in other words, can we tell just the news instead of becoming a propaganda machine for a political ideology or party or whatever? I remember in my first internship as an undergrad at BC, I was doing a little time at the local college radio station, and wow, was that internship short-lived? Or perhaps a prefigurement of what I'm doing today. I was so put off by the kind of characters that were there looking for the most sensational stories coming off the Western Union at the time, believe it or not. So we have a decision to make in the news industry. Do we want to report the facts as they are? And when it comes to stories, do we want to lift up the human heart and give us something to live for? or drag us into the mud. You have a decision to make, everybody that's in the broadcast world. And you will be judged by everything that you do, because God sees it all.
The Pope goes on.
Documentary films, radio broadcasts, television for schools provide ideas and open up new possibilities, not only with regard to those who are still young, but also with regard to those of mature years. Regarding shows in general, Pius XI called the film theaters the schools of events, for they can be called schools in this sense that the dramatic plot is joined with scenes in which the vivid pictures portrayed by the moving light are synchronized with sounds of voices and music in a most fascinating manner, with the result that they reach not only the intelligence and other faculties, but the whole man, and in some way link him to themselves and sweep him into a participation in the plot presented.
And may I add, this is way before the imagination of AI and the digital technology and graphic arts that we have here today that can truly sweep a person into sin or goodness if we choose correctly. Getting lost in the movie or the show has much more powerful connotations today, ladies and gentlemen, spiritually. Too many are living in fantasy land because of these modern technologies.
And finally, beyond all doubt, public administrators are strictly bound to be watchful over these modern arts also. Nor should they look on this matter from a merely political standpoint, but also from that of public morals, the sure foundation of which rests on the natural law, which inspired testimony assures us is written in our hearts. It cannot be asserted that this watchful care of the state's officials is an unfair limitation on the liberty of individual citizens, for it is concerned with not the private citizen as such, but rather the whole of human society with whom these arts are being shared.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the church is calling upon the state to play some monitoring role to protect the common good, and that it cannot be just pure license. There is a place for appropriate censorship, especially with the proliferation of internet streaming where there's virtually no restrictions. I heard the F word today right in my living room. I didn't care for it too much. I'm thinking immediately, where's the FCC? And this is becoming a crisis of our times on steroids with cell phones in the hands of 12-year-olds, okay? We have got to take this seriously. I should finally note, it is interesting that the so-called golden age of Hollywood, as Michael Medved, who's written much about this, Hollywood in America was an old book, spoke very much about the success of Hollywood films at that time when they were biblically based. Those movies such as the ones I called attention to at the beginning today, The Robe, Ben-Hur, Barabbas, King of Kings, and of course, The Ten Commandments. In other words, this was exactly at the time of that National League of Decency sponsored by the Catholic Church. She had a wonderful effect on Hollywood and promoting its success. Can we not do what works again? This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM, our book review on the other side, The Young Men We Need.
Well, in our last session, we were taking a look at reclaiming Catholic masculinity by looking at Adam, as in Adam and Eve. And Brant Hansen, in his book, The Young Men We Need, spelled it out pretty clearly that Adam didn't do much of anything. He kind of blamed it on Eve. And then tried to get lost in the garden. And the primary theme in Brant's book really is that God made it clear to Adam that he is to tend the garden, watch over, take care of the people, those that are vulnerable. And in a particular section in his book called Protect the Vulnerable, he relays this particular, well, two stories really. He says, let me tell you about my friend. He's a quiet guy. We'll leave his name out of it. He works hard. He likes to laugh. One day he was sitting at a table with his dad. They were on a veranda outside a small restaurant that my friend owns in South Africa. He noticed two women and a small child, a girl. His dad noticed a suspicious-looking guy nearby and told my friend to keep an eye on him. That's when the guy jumped a short railing and lunged to kidnap the little girl. Little did he know that he had no chance. Almost instantaneously, it's on video, you can watch it, my friend is on top of the guy, throwing him to the ground and putting him in a chokehold. I saw the video again and I thought, how did I do that?
This friend said,
all those thoughts go through your mind, but I guess at that moment when I saw the little girl, Everything else just took over, he said. My friend had years of martial arts experience. He needed it all for that one moment. He said he surprised himself that he acted so fast. He held the attacker until the police came, and the attacker was charged with attempted kidnapping. A big part of martial arts is that you learn to control the situation, and I think that is what happened. My friend said I needed to control him so that he would let go of this child. It was a combination of awareness and training and all that. I love this guy's story for a few reasons. It went viral worldwide. People hunger for stories where someone steps in to defend the vulnerable. Because my friend trained for years, he was able to do something he wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. Self-discipline makes us capable of remarkable things. He credits not just his training, but his and his dad's awareness. They were actively looking out for people around them. And my favorite aspect, my friend is unassuming. Little did the women with the girl know that they were safer because of a quiet man at a table nearby. The people in your neighborhood, at your school, or at your workplace should be safer because you're there. Simply because you're in the mix, they're better off. If the world around you is your garden, and you're going to be faithful to keep it, then kids, older folks, and other vulnerable people around you are safer. Most of them won't be aware of it, but that's okay. In fact, they may suspect the opposite. People often consider young men something of a threat, and that's understandable. About 80% of violent crimes are committed by young men in this age category. Young men are in their athletic physical prime before age 25, but it's also true that their brains haven't fully developed. They're much more likely to take risks. This desire isn't a bad thing in and of itself. In fact, it's a good thing. It's to help you as a young man to rise to the challenge of leaving your comfortable home. It's to give you the drive to set out on your own, take responsibility for your own life and livelihood, and start your own family someday. It's not there to prompt you to drive 140 miles per hour on the interstate and jeopardize people's lives. So use your God-given drive to do something good. Use it to defend people, not threaten them. I'm thinking of an episode just recently at church. If you want to take your own thermometer spiritually, where you're at in terms of courage and fortitude and risk-taking or just trying to take care of people, sometimes when there is an unexpected episode, watch your reactions. How quick are they to help?
It'll tell you whether you got work to do spiritually.
I was at church and there was a woman up in front of the church, actually up near the altar, and she fell. The chair she was in kind of collapsed. And I immediately got up, but I didn't move right away because I was in the back of the church.
I figured somebody, by the time I get up there, she will have been taken care of.
But the interesting thing is that there was another woman, a young woman, who was also into the middle to back of the church, and she just rushed to get up and help this woman immediately. And there was a guy sitting up in front who also was on his way to help her. And so I really didn't have to get there, but at least I got up and I was ready. But afterwards, I thought to myself, Tim, you got to be quicker. Got to be quicker on stuff like that, okay? Now, and I don't want to take a look at the rest of the congregation
as a measuring stick of what I should do,
because everyone else was just in their seat. Kind of speaks to human nature, doesn't it? So just be mindful of all these opportunities to exercise Christian charity on the spot for your neighbor. It is what we're called to do.
Sometimes immediately. Brandt goes on to a new story.
The other morning in my neighborhood, I walked by a little girl with a backpack. She was coming my way on the sidewalk, and she quickly zipped by without making eye contact. In a different era, maybe, I would have smiled and said hello. But I know it's likely she was taught not to engage with strangers, particularly strange men. I know this because I told my daughter the very same thing. It makes sense. But you know what? This girl is actually safer because I'm around. Even if she doesn't know it, I will look out for her. When I've seen suspicious or abusive activity in our neighborhoods, I've physically intervened to defend the kids. Would I get pummeled in a street fight? Maybe. But that's okay. Even if you're like me and not physically intimidating, speaking up can be very effective. It's remarkable how quickly some people will back down when someone, anyone at all, challenges them. We've been placed where we are for a reason. And it's not to assault or threaten. It's to protect. Like my friend in the previous story, we should make it a habit to take note of what's happening around us. We should notice if someone's behaving strangely and be ready to intervene on behalf of others. I don't want to be passive. I want to watch over people and use whatever I have to defend them. We can all do this with our applied intelligence, our words, our bodies, our money, and our lives. Whether people notice or praise us isn't the issue. We know that our Creator sees us doing exactly what He created us to do. If the men show up, the most vulnerable aren't so vulnerable anymore. They have us. Now, maybe you've wondered, if God can do anything He wants, why does He need me to do anything? God doesn't need us for anything. He needs nothing. But what He wants is our partnership. He wants us to experience playing an important role in His kingdom. Remember this, there are some things that won't get done if you don't do them. There are some things for which you are plan A and there is no plan B. This means that what you do actually matters. What you say matters. What you do with your money matters. Whether you defend the vulnerable matters. When you fail, well, that matters too. You can't just say, if God wants it done, He'll do it. When we want to start the car in the morning, we won't say, well, if God wants me to get to work, He'll start the car. No, because we have the keys. Right here at WQPH Radio every week. Watching out for you in the neighborhood. And do raise high our mom, our lady, tomorrow. And the mother of this radio station, Mary Ann. Have a great Mother's Day. God bless. Let your light shine. That is what it's all about here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. But we need to hear your story. You want your voice to be His voice. That is making the faith known to others. Please, my number is 877-625-3727. Tim Kilcoyne, TalkCatholic.com. St. Mother Teresa told us, your ministry is your work right where you are. Grab on to this microphone. God bless.